nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
All right, who wants to answer this question? Do you want to try this one? The first one, how does Earth's magnetic field deflect charged particles?
It actually depends on the energy of the particle.
That's right.
It can come through the Earth.
Right.
But if it's not enough, then it's going to distract it.
Do you remember the formula that we used to use in 606? Because we used to do the cyclotron experiment for effective mass calculation. Do you remember? What was it? Force is equal to?
V cross V.
That's right. V cross V. And so therefore, the B is fixed, right? Why? This Earth. So whatever B you have, but every point in the Earth doesn't have the same B. So it depends on what your V is to determine what your radius would be. And if your V is small, then your radius is small. So geography specific means where would the radiation would be very high in the Earth? Where does the magnetic field sort of go inside the poles, right? Magnetic poles, that'd be the minimum. It turns out there's one place for strange reason, one place in Brazil, which has almost comparable. So there's a big hole. So that place is also has very high radiation damage, right? What are those colors called? Do you remember that in the poles? Right. So remember, they have lots of colors in the polar region. This is because of radiation-induced shower. What is, I don't know how to pronounce it. I'll assume that P is silent for Zerkar. How is it used? Among many things that was discussed. Who remembers? Anyone? Intensity versus pressure, I mean height. Intensity versus height. But what special aspect of that curve made it? First rises and then falls. He was the first person to demonstrate it. Hess, who won Nobel Prize for showing that this is coming from cosmic sources. You know, we are talking about 1920s. People don't even think, that universe is big, that there are planets or stars which are moving away from us. None of those things are known. So if you wake up one fine morning and say, people, look, my electrometer is losing charge because particles are coming from galaxies. I mean, they will going to tell you you're crazy, right? So therefore, Hess got that one. The rising part of the curve was due to Hess. He showed that there is a maximum and then it comes down. All right, what does the isotropy of radiation say about the origin of galactic radiation sources? Isotropy means it comes from all sides. How do you know it's coming from galactic? Does the isotropy of the radiation say anything? If it were coming from the sun, do you expect to see the radiation during the night?
But during
the night you don't see the sun.
Yes,
right?
But that's what I'm saying, that the Earth in this
is yes.
So that we will not see the radiation during the night.
Right.
Because it comes all the day.
Yeah, so isotropy of this radiation means that even during night, the galactic particles will come to you because it's coming from everywhere. Right? Therefore, if you see, that's how it was first proven that it is coming from galactic sources. Because otherwise, twice during the day, you should have an up and down. And so if you look at the Earth radiation, only 2% of them has it up and down between day and night. 98% is flat throughout the day and night. So that is how he proved that it is coming from the galaxies. It is not coming from the sun. Which particle was used in Einstein's theory of relativity to prove Einstein's theory of relativity? And which one?
Muons.
And are those particle radiation concern for ICs?
No.
No, right? Because they don't really interact strongly with the particle. So with the silicon or with the boron, boron and all. Nuclear reaction from packaging leads to large number of upsets. Why? From packaging, large number of upsets. Why? Of course, but alpha particles are coming from the galactic sources also. So there is a special reason why this is most dangerous.
Proximity.
Huh?
Is it the proximity?
Proximity, because, you know, once I'm sitting here and all the alpha particles that are in coming here, they are all proximate to me. Low energy. Low energy. Low energy. Lower the energy, more dangerous it is. Because it is lower the energy, it is going to sort of loiter around. It will be scattered by this silicon atom, that silicon atom, and it is going to then lose, dump all its energy in the sources, in the device. High energy ones can go through. It's like a visitor which is zipping through the city. And so it can only cause so much damage. The one, if the criminal takes residence in your city, then the criminal can cause more damage. So this is a local criminal. Are the local criminals, low energy criminals. Will you have soft error in intrinsic CNT? Abdul Wahab, what do you think? Why and why not?
Yes, it is possible that there can be soft error. If the mobility, for diffusion case, if the mobility is different, then there can be soft.
But is it different? For electrons and holes?
So, for CNT, it is not different.
Exactly. So, therefore, for graphene and CNT, many people who work on this try to take it as an advantage. They say, look, my device has symmetric band structure and therefore it will be radiation hard. Of course, what they don't say that this is one monolayer. If you have a punch through, then you are dead. But at least for the soft error, it's better. Hard error, that's a different story. Define critical charge is a property of the device or property of the radiation source. I didn't really discuss this one. Critical charge is the amount of charge necessary to upset a transistor. And so in that sense, this is a property of the device, not the source. Because every device requires different amount of charge for the upset. Right? Okay.